Well, brethren, we've arrived at the last discourse that you will hear in the year 1971. Starting tomorrow, we'll be hearing the lessons the Lord has for us in a new year. The messenger the Lord has to deliver his word to us at this time to close off the thoughts for the year that has been behind us is our brother Stanley Gorgas of Phoenix, Arizona. And the message he has sounds like a message that is meant to instill in us very strong and firm graces of the Lord and of the Holy Spirit, steadfast and abounding. The Gorgas on steadfast and abounding.
Thank you very much, Brother Carl. Good to see all of your smiling faces. We have truly been blessed of the Lord. He has manifested his love through our brethren here in Chicago who have prepared for us this marvelous convention. And we're rejoicing in it. We've appreciated the lessons immensely, and we're looking forward to more that will follow. We appreciate the hospitality of Brother Ted and Sister Marcy Martin, in whose home we're privileged to stay. And we also appreciated very much the zeal of the brethren towards the children in the truth in the preparation of the seminar. We had the occasion to enjoy this experience a little more this morning when we had a little taste of it at the breakfast table in some of the considerations that were made at the seminar. We appreciate it very much. We also appreciated the labor of love of our younger brethren at the luncheon service. It's nice to see them partaking of the opportunities of serving the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. Just before we left, the brethren at Phoenix, who are rejoicing in the truth, voted to send their warmest Christian love to all of you here in convention. And we're looking forward to seeing some of you in Phoenix at our convention in 1972, around Thanksgiving weekend. The year's end is always an appropriate time to consider anew those things which are closely related to our standing before the Lord. Particularly as his children to whom belong the exceeding great and precious promises of the divine nature, as mentioned in 2 Peter 1 and 4. Happy surely will all those be who at the close of the year can look backward through it and realize that safe and secure in the refuge of that secret place spoken of in the 91st Psalm verse 1, which God has provided for us as his people, Happy are we if we find ourselves as having prospered, as having a greater joy, as growing under His guidance, under His favor, in a knowledge of Himself and of His plans and purposes, and especially those plans and purposes respecting His church and its work of restitution. Think of it, dear brethren. Has it been your joy in the past year along this line? We trust that we all will find much encouragement as we look back over the past year wherein we have been kept by the keeping power of God. If we can see that we have faithfully sought at every step of the way to walk in the footsteps of Jesus, we will have special cause for rejoicing. Is there any particular incidents over the past year and experiences wherein you are privileged to see yourself stepping in the footsteps of Jesus? On the other hand, if we see that some of the steps have been crooked and out of the way, how do we view them? Are we like David the psalmist, who in the 32nd Psalm repented of such digressions? And do we invoke the healing and the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father? Do we apply for His tender compassion to help in our every need? Yes, dear friends, our life is hid with Christ. And we abide in Him under the cover of His merit and the robe of His righteousness. Do we ever keep this before our minds? Are we zealously determined that in the coming year we will be more faithful to the Lord? More faithful to the truth? More faithful to the brethren than we have been in the year now ending? Have we been steadfast in our faith, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as we are instructed in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 15 and verse 58? Good questions. Are we giving good answers? You know, by the Lord's permission, the element of time has been a test to some of His people during 1971, as well as in times past. Test of time. Certainly, Abraham's faith was tested by his long wait for the birth of Isaac. And he died in faith without seeing the real fulfillment of the promise God had made to him concerning the blessing of all the families of the earth through his seed. Genesis 22:17-18. And the faith chapter, Hebrews 11:13. The test of time. John the Baptist triumphantly announced Jesus to be the promised Messiah. Matthew 3, 1 and 3. Yet when circumstances developed contrary to his expectations, his faith was severely tested, and he sent messengers to Jesus to inquire, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Matthew 11, 3. Testings, testings, testings at the hand of the Lord. And today, we find a similar test upon the Lord's people, as was John the Baptist's. Some of the Lord's people have triumphantly announced the millennial reign of Christ as having begun. And when circumstances have developed contrary to their expectations, they are doubting that the reign has begun. We all should resolve to be on the alert, lest a form of spiritual sickness lay hold upon our own hearts, and we begin to wonder about the truth, and as a result, we become weary in well-doing. Galatians 6:9, 2 Thessalonians 3:13. After all, our position today as truth-enlightened Christians is unique. The prophecies of the Bible pertaining to the simultaneous end of the evil order in the time of our Lord's reign are being so marvelously fulfilled in the fast-moving events of the world that it is not uncommon to hear the brethren say, "Why, we're walking by sight, practically." Yes. Surely, without a doubt, we are living in the morning of that glorious millennial day. But the Lord is keeping the exact timetable of the events. Yes, he's keeping them in his confidence. And thus, testing our faith in him and in his precious promises. Not only testing our faith in him, but teaching us something. Yes, teaching us to put our trust more fully in him and not to lean to our own understanding. Let us then, dear friends, as admonished by the great Apostle Paul, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful who promised. Hebrews 10:23. He is faithful that promised. This is a precious thought. The Lord is always faithful to his promises. Our tests of faith often result from putting too much confidence in our own opinions. This was John the Baptist's difficulty, for Jesus said nothing to him to cause him to doubt. John's viewpoint was based entirely upon his own deductions. As we pass from one year and enter still another, we should reemphasize the reality of the truth that we have received from the Lord through that wise and faithful servant. And we should remind ourselves of the importance of having our faith firmly established. Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, at the dedication of the temple, said concerning the Lord, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise. No, there is no failure in the promises which the Lord had made. Is it any different now? No, the same is still true. We do not have a variable God. Oh, our understanding of the Lord's word may fail, but not the word itself. We are told in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verse 11, that his word would be sent forth, and it would accomplish that whereunto he sent it. It would not return to him void. No, there hath not failed one word which the Lord had put forth. This is an important lesson. Yes, how blessed to know that God is faithful in his word. How wonderful it is to know that his good promises are all comprehensive. All comprehensive in that they reveal his glorious plan of the ages for the blessing of all mankind. And all comprehensive because they cover every situation in our individual relationship to him. And mind you, not one word has ever failed. Did you ever take stock in this in the past year to see whether that has been your lot of the Lord's word concerning you? Has any of it failed? His promises did not fail during the past year. And we can look forward with confidence to the next year, knowing that again, he who called us will be faithful. If we have been steadfast and unmovable throughout the past year, it is because we have put our trust fully in the Lord. And we have sought fully to be guided by his word. Now then, steadfastness in the truth leads to an abounding in the work of the Lord. If we made the truth our own because we have found it substantiated by the word of the Lord, what would we want to do? We would want to tell it to others. Yes. Tell it out. Do you have a burning desire to tell everyone the blessed tidings that the Lord has in reservation? This is your commission and mine. Isaiah 61:1. Jeremiah had it as a fire in his bones. Could not contain it. Jeremiah 20:9. If we have this burning desire, and we actually do something about it, yes, it's one of the evidences of God's favor. One of the signs that we not only have the truth, but we have received it into good and honest and unselfish hearts. Are we telling it out? Do we take advantage of every opportunity? Are we instant in season? Have we done this to the fullest extent during the year 1971? If not, dear friends, we're not living up to our privileges in the Lord. This is one of the blessings we have of telling others of the blessed tidings. The truth is designed to mold our lives also into character likeness of the Master. And it has also been given to us that we might be the Lord's witnesses, that we might be His ambassadors of the kingdom. Ephesians 6:20, 2 Corinthians 5:19 and 20. Failure to use the truth in either of these respects would denote, mind you, denote a measure of unfaithfulness and a consequent loss of the Heavenly Father's fullest measure of blessing. Does the close of 1971 find us more humble? Does it find us more like our blessed Master? And as children, are we abounding in the work of the Lord? Let us each perform some introspection. Once established in the doctrine, every member of the body of Christ can then properly develop into a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13-14. Of course, this implies something. This implies the development of all the graces and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. If God's Holy Spirit is allowed to have free course in the Christian's life, unhindered, mind you, by other influences, it will result in the development of the fruit of the Spirit. But it must be unhindered by other influences. Have we left some of these influences hinder us during the year 1971? If there are, dear brethren, let us remove them. Yes, this fruit of the Spirit, as we are told in Galatians 5:22-23, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. Do we see ourselves improving in each of these characteristics? Yes, the development of this fruitage and these graces of the Holy Spirit result in a holiness without which we shall not see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. This is a very serious consideration. It is our work to develop in ourselves every grace? Have we made any progress along this line? The Master used an illustration. He used the illustration of a vine and its branches to show his relationship to his people and their dependence on him. In the 15th chapter of John, verses 1 to 5, he says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing." Have there been occasions in the past year where we have run before the Lord . When I say run before, I'm really meaning run ahead. Do we fully abide in him as the branch is in the vine? Dear friends, without the vine, there will be no fruitage in the branches. And fruit must be found in every branch if it will retain its position in the vine. The Father will purge it that it bring forth more fruit. We see then the thought is that we must cultivate in our hearts the graces of the Holy Spirit. And that we must have these graces in an abounding measure to be pleasing to the Lord. Do we have the attitude that, oh well, I guess I'm just not able to change my way. I guess I'm too old for that. Or, I guess I can call upon the forgiveness of the Lord to cover up the effort that I should put forth. Are we fruit bearers? And are we bearing in an abounding measure? We must. The manifestation of this fruit, therefore, undoubtedly will be through various channels. Some of the guideposts or standards we can use. And there are many, we'll mention a few. Are we laying down our lives for the brethren? If we are, we'll be bearing much fruit. Are we doing good unto all men as we have opportunity? If we are, we'll be bearing much fruit. Are we proclaiming the truth? And we're thinking of this more in a personal way rather than through a collective effort. Both are necessary, but we're concentrating on the individual. Have we studied the truth during the past year? Or have we had some hindering influences which have robbed us of our time for the Lord? Let us dear brethren, make a ledger. Let us put down every hour we devote to ourselves. And let us, on the other hand, put down every hour we have devoted to the Lord. I think we would all be surprised. Are we redeeming the time? Dear brethren, these are serious considerations. Our loyalty to the Lord and to the truth is an individual and a personal responsibility. Oh, the Lord isn't going to ask somebody else, Brother so-and-so, about Brother Gorgas. Oh, no. Brother Gorgas is going to have to give an account of his own activities. Let us watch our own heart condition. Let us watch our own standing before the Lord. Let us not watch our other brothers standing before the Lord. It's an individual and personal responsibility. It's no evidence of steadfastness on our part to continually criticize others. We're reminded of the old cliche that nothing has been opened by mistake more often than the human mouth. Think of it. You would hardly think this of note amongst the Lord's people. But let us look back, each and every one, sincerely, in the year 1971. Continual criticism surely is not the work of the Lord in which we are to abound. Ah, no. We are, however, to be on the alert to assist one another as together we walk the narrow way. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Lest some of us should become discouraged. Paul says that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. This is an encouragement to steadfast and abounding Christians. Have you sought to present the truth and found your efforts seemingly hopeless, that it fell on deaf ears? We must realize that darkness still covers the earth and the people. We're told this in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 2. The darkness hateth the light. Satan, who blinds the minds of the people, is still struggling fiercely to maintain his position as the god of this world. Oh, he's under severe attack, but he's struggling fiercely. 2 Corinthians 4:4. And let us not expect under these circumstances that the truth will be favorably received by very many. Nevertheless, we are to let our light shine. Let us be about our Father's business, and aboundingly so, knowing that our efforts will accomplish the Lord's design, and they will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians 3:8. The Lord has indeed been good to us during 1971. The rich blessings of the Lord upon His people throughout the past year, we believe, have prepared them for the coming year. Just as not one word of all of God's good promises has failed in the past, we know that in the year before us He will continue to guide and strengthen those who put their trust fully in Him. We do wish to say, however, that the greatest blessing or the richest blessing of the Lord during the coming year will go to those who earnestly seek day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, to know and to do His will. He will draw near to those who, regardless of the cost, have made their principal aim in life to know and to serve Him. Is this your principal aim in life and mine? Dear brethren, let us yield ourselves fully to the Lord. Let us give all diligence to make our calling and election sure. The important question then, what is it? Obviously, it is not whether it is the year in which the kingdom will manifest itself in power and great glory. It is not whether it will be the last for us this side the veil. No, it is rather, dear brethren, whether or not we will continue to be steadfast and unmovable and be found throughout the year abounding in the work of the Lord. Both His work of grace in our hearts and also our labors in His vineyard. If we are thus faithful through the coming year, yes, that abundant entrance into the kingdom for which we are longing will be ours. If we're faithful to the end. Our prayer is that each and every one of God's children throughout the coming year would experience an ever-deepening conviction of the Lord's presence with them and in Him find rest of heart while continuing to sacrifice in the Lord's service. What more can we wish for our brethren in Christ than that they have the Lord's blessing? Let us, dear friends, as we look forward to the coming year and all of its experiences, remain steadfast and abounding in the Lord.
Well, brethren, our official day of worship together has come to an end, but unofficially it hasn't. As we'll go from here to the various homes and continue our fellowship in the Lord, it'll be helpful to all of us to remember the lessons and the points and the scriptures that were mentioned from the platform. to provoke spiritual discussion this evening in our various home fellowship gatherings as the brethren continue to close out this old year of 1971 together as a body in Christ our head.